Well, the new owners of the Cressy Research Station are making headway on returning the site to a centre of excellence for Tasmanian agriculture. Upper Murray Seeds have been renovating buildings and paddocks as they transition their New South Wales plant breeding business to the site. Station manager Tim Smallbon explained to Larissa Smith why it's so important to preserve its history.
The farm was founded in 1937, and very shortly after, of course, Second World War broke out, it became a land army training base. But the interesting thing was that girls from all over Tasmania moved here and were taught how to farm. I can just imagine the excitement of leaving your hometown, never seeing a farm before, and then coming here would be amazing. And we'd love to find out a bit of the history. If someone has any pictures at home, we're trying to make a collection of history, historical photos, that sort of thing. And of course, those girls farmed here till 1945. We have documents from the army to say how many bullets we can have to shoot vermin, how much barbed wire we're allowed to have, the fact that we've got to get our harvesters tidied up because all the rest of the steel has to go for war, for tanks and battles. It's a wonderful place.
What happened after World War II?
Okay, so then it became a soldier settlement training base. So a lot of people that were granted land after the war came here to learn how to farm and then went off to their various blocks. Then into the 50s, 60s and 70s, it really became the powerhouse of Tasmanian agriculture and research. A lot of plant breeding was done. Probably over 30 full-time staff were employed here, full-time gardener. The place was an absolute picture because it is around 400 hectares, so there's a lot of land and a lot of various activities were done here. But a lot of the people, or the more mature farmers we had, would have done short courses here.
And then over time, I guess, as the extension services went into the private sector, some of that stuff was rolled back?
Yes, it was into the 80s and the 90s. Then, of course, the extension services went private or went to reseller companies, and it was wound back, which was a little bit of a shame because some of the formative cultivars that were bred here, and people know Kluwer and Oats and Franklin Barley, they were all initially started here. We even found some of the old original baskets that some of that stock went into, some of the original labels, which were lovely. We're going to preserve those. And then, yes, it wound back and gone into retirement to some extent.
I'm really interested in what's going on in a breeding sense, how that's been rejuvenated. Can we take a look at the glasshouse?
Most certainly.
Stuart Sutherland, it might be a good place to bring you in and talk about what you've got set up here and your vision for plant breeding at Cressy Research Station.
We've got some fairly grand plans, it'd be fair to say. We're in the process of shifting our entire program down from New South Wales. It's been based on the Victorian border, a little place called Tooma, near Corion, Cancoban. We've been there for a number of years. We'd outgrown that site. So it was just getting to the stage where we needed to do something. And we're thinking of shifting down to Albury to be right on the Murray there in a major centre where we could bring clients, farmers and resellers in to have a look at what we're doing and run our entire operation there. And then the opportunity of taking over the Cressy Research Station site came up.
What are we looking at here in these pots?
We're looking at different grass species that we've been working on. And it takes a long time to breed a new variety, Larissa. Some people think it just happens overnight. But in actual fact, from woe to go can be up to 10 years. From your initial cross, deciding that what you want, and then looking at it, making sure you've got that. It doesn't just happen in 1 or 2 or 3 years. It takes a long time until you can release that new variety onto the market.
Tropicals down the track, which some would think a little odd for breeding pasture seed in Tasmania, but that's one of your goals.
Yes, it is. Yeah, quite rightly. Whether you're a climate change believer or sceptic or not, I believe we are living it right now. We're in a time of more extremes in environment. We're seeing high temperatures, big rain events. So we need to come up with varieties that will handle those more extreme climates as time moves on. So yes, our program goes from everything from grasses, clovers, lucerns, tropicals, cereals. It's all encompassing.
You've got to bulk up the seed, you've got to get plant breeders rights, you've got to get that seed out to farmers to test it against your competitors. You've got to try and get the seed into Tasmania during a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's been a bit of a challenge, Larissa. So all our mother plants and early generation seed, up until we took over Crest, is situated at Tuma in cool storage. So it's fully dehumidified. It's difficult to get that seed down here. Obviously, it can't have any soil in it coming into Tasmania, and any plants that come down have got to be bare-rooted. So that's going to be a tough one. And we were all set to start this year, and then COVID hit us. So those plants are still living at Tuma, unfortunately, and the seed's still in the cool store up there. We can bring in small quantities, so we can bring in up to 500 grams, providing it has the various tests that go with it. So that's what we've been doing to date.
Beyond the walls of this glasshouse, what have you been doing out in the paddocks that surround the research station?
Yeah, certainly, Larissa. We've been extensively renovating the paddocks. Drainage, liming, fertiliser, ploughing, obviously disking, getting things straightened up. We've got dry matter trials in. Now, what they are is ours and opposition companies' grass seeds. We put them in a random pattern, four replicates or four repeats. They're then cut through the season. At the same time, within an hour and a half, they're into our lab. They're dried in our dehydrating oven, and then we weigh the results, and we might have six or seven cuts, eight cuts through the season. That then gives us some graphs at the end of the day to then judge the following year on some of our plant breeding work and to see how we're actually tracking against some of the opposition. The farmers place a lot of interest in dry matter trials. It gives them not just the overall cut, but it gives them the cuts through the seasons they may be looking for. So where one variety might be fantastic early spring, it might not be good toward summer, and vice versa. So it gives us some really good information.
And how did things go for this past season?
Yeah, very much my usual luck when I try and start something new. We ended up with the driest spring on record, and we've just hit the wettest autumn on record. So we certainly got through. While we were doing a lot of that renovation, we had a lot of investment to make. Things like irrigation lines, new pumps, new irrigators, getting the place up and running with infrastructure, trying to plant with our dry matter trials and keep them going, and establish solid set irrigation at the same time, as well as employing new staff and cutting dry matter. So we had more than enough to do, and we thought, great, we'll hit an autumn where we can just get on more normally. But Tasmanian agriculture, with its sense of humour, normal's not quite normal. So we've got what we've got.
What's it been like for you to sink your teeth into this new project?
Oh, this is wonderful. It's more of a culmination from me for a lot of years of work and a lot of years of interest. It's a fascinating place, and when I first came here, I think I might have spent 4 hours with Stuart looking around, and I could see how the place could be reinvigorated and again become a centre of excellence for Tasmanian agriculture. It's a lovely spot, it's very pretty, the buildings are great, and the neighbours are terrific, and the interest from some of our older farmers in seeing the station come back is marvellous. So it's a wonderful opportunity. I think Stuart's done an excellent job in what he's done for Cressy, and getting this back up and running is just marvellous.
Tim Smallbon, the manager at the Cressy Research Station, and we also heard from the station's new owner and general manager of Upper Murray Seed, Stuart Sutherland, talking there to Larissa Smith.